And I guess just one thing, just because we have a closed session today, is when we go into close, if there are any guests, we just have to make sure they're not in the chat. We can have to kick them out. Selene Urquhart, who works at the SU, will be present at the closed session, but I got an NDA from her this morning, so she's allowed to be there.
Okay. Rowan left me in red, but is there any chance that Lucas can be there for the closed session?
If Lucas has signed a non-disclosure agreement, so if he hasn't, I can send him one. He can sign it. He has to sign it before the meeting starts.
Because I think it'd be really important to have him there.
First, like, yeah, as long as I get it before the closed session, I could let him in. But like, so he could sign it like while we're in the meeting here, but I would need it before the closed session. I'm not sure if he signed an NDA as part of his work, but I think it'd just be best if I sent an NDA for counsel as well. But yeah, if he signed the NDA, he could. And if he needs a link, I have it.
Would you be able to send me the link?
For sure. Because I just sent it to Selene this afternoon. And as soon as I sign this, I will let everybody in just because it is 6 o'clock.
Do you want me to let people in? I can do that. Sorry, am I able to?
Sure. You are allowed to. I'm just gonna, yeah,
Oh, okay.
I'll turn
Just
off my
help.
video.
Can I help?
So good luck. You're gonna do great. You got this, and if you need anything, I'm here.
Thank you so much, friend. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Okay, I'll let everyone in now.
Awesome.
Of course, my dog starts barking right now. Of course.
You know, pets have a way to always interrupt everything.
He just has perfect timing. What can I say? Hello, everybody.
Hello, friends.
How are we doing?
It seems like it was so much longer that we were last online.
Yes. Everyone say happy birthday to Mr. Andrew Baticki.
Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday,
Andrew.
Miss
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Andy.
Woo!
Thanks, y'all.
There's a cake emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can choose. They don't have all of the emojis in the reactions, but
Oh,
they've got quite a
cool.
few.
I
Like,
think
I
I
can
can
do
wait, wait, wait,
a frog.
How do you choose that?
You
What are
have
we
to have
doing? You
Zoom
just type
up
it
to
on the
date.
bar, yeah.
Ugh.
So what I'm doing is in my reactions, but there's a little smiley face in the chat that you should be able to put in emojis. Cheeky. Ooh, I can do a little coffee cup.
The Zoom updates are really coming through.
They are. We need them emojis. I'm gonna have, oh, I can do multiple? Oh no, you can't. Never mind.
Okay, I'll give everybody just, I guess, like 1 more minute to trickle in, and then we should be good to start. Okay, I think we should be good. I will be calling this meeting to order at 6:04 p.m. I'd first like to say any guests may register in the chat by stating your name and affiliation to campus, especially if you wish to speak during open forum. And I'd like to first start with the land acknowledgement. We would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be in Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are a family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Moving forward to speakers' business. We'll start off with the attendance. You can just say in the chat or unmute yourself to note that you are first here. Okay, so let's wait 2 seconds. Okay, let's start off. President.
Present.
Thank you. BPA, BP Montero.
Present.
BP Fotang.
Present.
BP Kamani.
Here.
Thank you. BP Dixon. BP Dixon. Not here. Okay. Counselor Taha. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Emily. Okay. Councillor Vaughn.
Present.
Yeah. Councillor Corfe.
Here.
Yeah. Councillor Yabut.
Here.
Councillor Avila.
Present.
Great. I'm here. Councillor Kaur.
Here.
Councillor Beasley.
I'm here.
Councillor Ammer. Is that a yes? Sorry, I can't. Oh, okay, no Councillor Ammer then. Councillor Gardner.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Morris or Morris's proxy.
Here.
Councillor Matoska.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Ouellette. Councillor Led, no Councillor Led. Okay. Councillor Thakur. No Councillor Thakur. Councillor Kalra.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Kukan. Councillor Batiki.
Here.
Councillor Zafar.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor DePrado.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Gill.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Chopra. Councillor Chopra. Okay, Councillor Brandwine.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Lala.
Here.
Councillor Siva Kumaran.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Barazesh. Councillor Barazesh.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Dillon.
Present.
Councillor Yola.
Present.
Thank you. And Mark said you're just up the way, but he is here. Sounds good. So now is over. Our regular speaker, obviously, is not me. Mr. Philip is on a plane to Canada from Kenya today, so he has asked me to act a speaker for this meeting. We wish him safe travels on his return. I also hope you all will bear with me through this meeting, and I thank you for your patience for the next 3 hours. Hopefully it'll end in 3 hours, but if I do have like any mistakes or anything like to correct, please be nice and just like DM me or something. I appreciate that. Since we do have a large agenda today, I'll also try to be adamant on keeping with the time slots for each speaking turn and report. So please keep that in mind as we move forward through the meeting. Just a reminder, all the exec and committee reports have an allotted time of 2 minutes. I want to inform all of you that Dave Conrad has stepped down from his position as the Board of Governors representative. One more thing, I want to preface that late ads are supposed to only be used for time-sensitive motions. And since we already have a pretty hefty agenda today, I wanted to ask for all of your opinions on only adding the first three motions. So that would be the ratifications on the die board and the ICE SRA fee. I also would like to say that according to our standing orders, special meetings can be called by majority vote of Students' Council. So if you wish to discuss any of the other motions that we might potentially not get to today, we also have the option for us, or also table the other items to the next agenda. What do we think of that, President Lee?
Yes, sorry. Unfortunately, I do believe that my item on DFU consultation standards is time sensitive because it discusses business that we're going to need to do at the next meeting.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
Sorry, thanks.
That's what I want to ask everybody. Yes, VP Montero?
Just one thing for me. Mr. Speaker, it's on the item that Councilor Dillon submitted. That one's also going to have to be on the agenda as well because it's time sensitive and bylaw committee is going to have to draft a question depending on what the vote is.
I'm so sorry. Did I not say that? Did you say that? Sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe I messed up, but we're good.
I think you said first three. That's actually my bad.
I will keep both yours and Councilor Dillon's motion on there, but are we good with the other ones, tabling them either to a next meeting or if anyone would want to call a special meeting, are we okay with that? I will take silence as a yes if no one would like to bring anything up. Okay, so we'll just add the DFU consultation standards to the board papers, and as well as the both of the appointments of the die board and the ICE SRA fee proposal. Okay, great. One last thing for speaker's business is the council scholarship. Two council scholarships are offered each trimester, and the value of each scholarship shall be $500. The criteria for each scholarship is representative of their constituents' opinions and concerns in student council matters, serves as an ambassador of students' council in the campus community, and attempts to further empower students, excellent attendance, and activity on the committees. I will be sending a link to all of the nominations we received. I'll send it through the chat. And you'll have about 5 minutes or so to read through them. Then I will send out a link to vote that Philip made and is the only person who has access to the form. So he will send out an email regarding the results after the meeting and hopefully when he is on Canadian soil. Do you not have access? Oh no, Mr. Philip did not do it. Okay, sorry, give me a second. Thank you for telling me, Emily. Okay, maybe try now, see if that works.
We're good.
Thank you so much. You can still spend some more time if you need to read them, but I will be sending the form in the chat. I can't actually monitor how many votes we get, but I will give everyone till 6:18. If you need more time, you can just tell me. And also, I feel like I'd have to say this, but you have to be a member of council to vote.
Recording.
Okay, it's 6:18. You'll have some, we'll just leave a link in the chat if you still need more time, but we will move onwards on the agenda. So the first thing we have is presentations. Can I get someone else to move and second the presentation from the elections office, please? Matoska motions, Council Matoska. Can I get a seconder? And VP Dixon seconds. Okay, sounds good. I will give the floor to Lucas and you'll have 15 minutes to present. Take it away.
Hello, everyone. We don't have any materials for this meeting, so just be a brief introduction from the elections office. First of all, my name is Lucas. I'm the chief returning officer for the 2021-2022 year. I have here with me today the two deputy returning officers that have just recently joined the elections office, and I'll let them give a quick introduction about themselves. So, Sithara, Madeline, if you're in the call, please go ahead.
Hi, it's nice to meet everyone. My name is Sithara. I am a second year student. I have a major in poli sci and a minor in history, and I'll be helping out with the more marketing and or the more operations side of the elections office. And if any of you guys want to contact me, I'll put my email in the chat. There we go.
Perfect. And my name is Madeline. I'm also a political science major, currently in my second year. And I've been doing quite a bit of political activism previously, so that's why I'll be working on the marketing side of things. And you can reach me at my own email, which I'll also throw in the chat.
Yeah, thanks for both of you guys. We had interviews last year. They were very competitive. Councillor Veloso alongside two other die board members were in the process. So I'm really happy to be working with Madeline and Sithara in this upcoming year. I do think we're going to be doing some pretty incredible things. And then to start that off with, there will be that we'll be trying to running this year the CSG Forum mostly in French. So that'll be something that has been advocated for in the past and that the elections office has finally listened. So we're currently working on the logistics of that. And we need to still work with Campus Saint-Jean in order to make that happen. But that's something that I'm very excited for. Besides that, another thing as well would be that in the past couple of days, there have been a couple of issues with campaigning rules. And I posted a clarification document on the Students Union website. Again, if anybody has any questions about the document, please feel free to email me. The bylaws, as some of us know, are not complete. And sometimes they lack understanding or they lack certain items. That is why I made the ruling that I made that a couple of days ago. Just a little bit of a reasoning as well on why pre-campaigning activity will not be allowed prior to the nomination deadline. That would be because if pre-campaigning was allowed and people that were not candidates were allowed to campaign, I would need probably 30 more people or 40 more people in the elections office to monitor everyone's social media accounts and everyone's posts. Otherwise, we would be breaking a couple of other bylaws in which talk about social media, policy, amongst other things. That's why I decided to keep elections campaigning just the campaigning period in which we can just look at whoever is going to be the candidate at that moment. Again, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to text or email me. If you want to challenge the motion, you can always like email me as well or make an appeal to the DAI board. And I do believe that would be it for me. And another thing as well, in terms of marketing strategy, Madeline and I are going to meet with the marketing team this week. We still need to figure out how to have a meeting with them so we can come up with the strategy. In terms of when the decision of how marketing is going to be this year will come, we'll probably be around January 23rd. Because when that's when the university will make a decision if we're going to have in-person or online classes, and that's probably around the same time I'll be making a decision if campaign this year will be in-person or online. Again, the elections office will follow any and all health measures that are in place by the government. Again, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to email me. Y'all know my email already, but again, it's cyril@esu.ualberta.ca. I'll post that in the chat. And further instructions regarding elections will be coming out tomorrow. So I would ask everybody to please pay attention to social media and the Students Union website. And if I'm not wrong, it's January 14th. That's when the 14th or 17th, something like that. It ran away from my mind right now. When the nominations packages for the executive and board of governor elections are going to come live. So yeah, please stay tuned for that. And I'm open to any questions if anybody has any questions or issues. And again, we'll start having office hours during the campaign period. But if I can book, I can be found by my email. You can email me and we can book a meeting as well. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Lucas. And I'll just open up the floor for any questions that we have. So 5 minutes left in the presentation. So I will open up the speakers list. If not, you also have their 3 emails over there if you have any questions. But okay, thank you so much, Lucas, Madeline, and Sithara for coming to council today. If you'd like to stay, you can for the rest of the meeting, but you also feel free to have the rest of your evening off. So thank you once again. Okay, sort of moving on forward to the agenda. Executive committee reports. Okay, so we'll start off first with VP Dixon.
Hi, everybody. I hope that you are having a very happy new year and got to have some rest over the break, even though that was such a short break. What the heck? So as you guys may have seen in my council report, I gave a pretty detailed and longer than it should have been. I didn't realize before I added it. I thought it was only 2 pages because that's what it looked like on my screen, but it was longer with the upload, whatever. I gave an update about my platform points and kind of very brief progress reports on those things. So if you are interested, definitely go and look there. But some things I'll highlight, as you've probably all seen, Indigenous Celebration Week has been moved to March. We made this decision because that's kind of the feedback we got from students that they didn't want to have another online event, and we responded to that. It looks like rescheduling is going really well, but also this opens up the opportunity to book some new and cool speakers. So we're trying to make the best of a bad situation, and I think it's going over really well. The Peer Support Center was supposed to be starting offering supports in February in residence. However, we're not sure what that's going to look like with COVID. So we'll try and keep you guys updated about what that ends up looking like. The final thing I'll say is that the pronoun campaign emails for the second round went out right before the start of classes. We had a little less uptake from profs than we did last semester, it looks like, but there's still hundreds of classes that are going to be receiving those resources this semester, and that means thousands of students. So I count that as one in my books, and that means that the pronoun campaign is more or less finished, and I hope that it can grow in future years, and eventually doing these kinds of things can be mandatory at U of A. So that's kind of my little spiel. I'm trying to stay on time because I know Julia told me she's going to be strict today, and that's all. Thanks.
Thank you so much. With 15 seconds to spare, thanks, Talia. Okay, Bibi Kamani.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. I hope you all had a wonderful, restful break and you're settling into the new semester. So I don't have too much to report today because I was on vacation for a few weeks, but I do want to give you all a bit of a rundown on what you can expect from me in the next couple of weeks. So every year, the exec is tasked with creating the capital and operating budget for the upcoming year. And it's the job of the VPOF to come up with a list of budget principles, which outline the priorities and values for the budget. So ultimately, that means we kind of determine how much funding is going to go where, and how much funding projects and reserves and certain initiatives are going to get. So I kind of went into a lot of detail in my council report, but I just want to say that this process is meant to be done collaboratively with council. So please, if you have any questions along the way, I'm here to support you the best way I can. So please ask, and I am looking forward to this process. Yep, that's all for me.
Okay, thank you so much. Moving on to VP Foteng.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Happy New Year once again to you all. For me, as usual, you probably hear this again, I've come back from vacation, so there's not a lot to report, but I will say what I will be up to for the next, let's say for this semester. President Lay and I will be working to figure out some more transit options for students over at Augustana campus. This has been on our priority when we went to Augustana to meet with the execs there. So we'll be discussing ways with the university with which we can help find more viable options this year. As well, my time has been kept up with a lot of CASA stuff with the resignation of our executive director. I've been working with our home office staff to plan for the hiring process of a new ED. So right now we're just approving the job description and that'll be out soon. And then creating a committee, selection committee, as well as figure out the next steps with that. Sadly, due to the rising cases of Omicron and just COVID everywhere across the country, the SuperCon will have to be moved to a digital format. So the discussions are now whether we should just separate the annual general meeting from the SuperCon part of the conference and just shift that to a later date, or seeing if, you know, we can still keep both. But it's disappointing, but we will still find ways to make sure we can have our federal advocacy strong, even in a virtual format. We'll be having a calls meeting later this month and having more updates there. And I'll also be working closely with my counterparts at NATESA to, you know, do more stuff for ESA, and hopefully we can prep a meeting between counselors and Edmonton student union leaders to come up with a meeting. Yeah, so that's about what I'm up to for now. As always, ask any questions if you have them, and have a good rest of your evening.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to VP Montero.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. It's good to see you again.
My report's also fairly similar to everyone else's. I was on vacation for the past 2 weeks. My report before this one, I did do an overview of all of the platform points that I've accomplished and what stuff is still ongoing. So please take a look at that one if you want to refresh your memory. But the four things I'll talk about today. One, zero textbook costs. As I mentioned earlier, we saved approximately $7 million for students last semester. That was our estimate. I'll have updated numbers for all of you for our next meeting. So I look forward to seeing those. The second thing is work on governance restructuring. All the feedback that all of you provided in our last meeting and the meeting before that, myself and Kristen have been working on taking that information, working through the committee mandates to bring something to all of you. So hopefully we'll have something soon. I've been working on experiential learning, communication with the Provost Fellow, Preston Mundell, who's now actually acting Associate Dean of Students. So we'll be talking with him and figuring out what that experiential learning communication is going to look like. And the last thing is the exploration credits grading proposal that myself and President Lay have been working on is going to be coming to GFC for discussion for our next GFC meeting in January. And the hope is that we're going to get it to GFC in March for a final vote.
Thank you so much. Okay, now, not least, President Lay.
Thank you very much. I want to say, first of all, I am just as excited as Vice President Montero to be bringing exploration credits to GFC. This will be a huge win for students when it does go through, we hope. But Council, it is great to see you all back. I wish I could be seeing you in person. I hope you all had a restful break and that your exams went well. Two of the biggest focuses of my time right now are ongoing advocacy for student safety during Omicron, trying to secure a return to classes with enhanced precautions as soon as it can be done safely is our most important priority. And you can read about that more in my report and also in the briefing note I circulated to Council last week. Our advocacy against the proposed exceptional tuition increases is also ongoing. VP Fotang and I are working hard on that, and we are making substantial progress. I can't share much detail right now, but I hope to have a more significant update for you at our next meeting or in early February. I do believe our strategy is showing good results, and I hope we will be able to share some good news soon. Last, I want to acknowledge that this Saturday was the second anniversary of the shooting down of Ukrainian Airlines Flight 752 by the Iranian regime, in which 10 members of the U of A community were killed. At the Students' Union, we particularly remember undergraduate student Saba Sadat, a student in biological sciences, and her sister Sarah Sadat, an alumna of the Department of Psychology. This was a personal tragedy for the passengers of PS752, their friends and their families, and it was also a collective trauma for the U of A community. We remember the students and staff who were lost and commit to keeping their legacy alive. Last year, the Students' Union created the Sarah and Saba Sadat Memorial Award to commemorate their contributions on campus and ensure that they are remembered by generations of students to come. For many in the community, this will be a difficult time, and many will be experiencing feelings of grief and loss. I would encourage you to reach out to the Peer Support Center or other resources at UASU Cares as we mark this very difficult anniversary.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, President Lay. We'll move on to board and committee reports. First up, we have ARC.
Oh, there we go. Hello, friends. Not too much to report to from ARC. Just that our new meeting dates are Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Would love to see some faces there, even though it will be online for now. And we are looking forward to just discussing Indigenous Celebration Week, standing orders, the land acknowledgement, and a few other things. So I hope to see some people there. Thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to Audit Committee.
Sorry. I hope you all can hear me well, but for audit right now, we're meeting tomorrow, and I'm just in the midst of meeting with all the VPFs and talking to them about our audit process, and hopefully sometime this month we'll be able to run a financial workshop with all the VPFs. So it's been going really well so far, and we're meeting with KPMG soon too. So yeah, I guess I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Bylaw Committee.
Thank you. Yeah, so we haven't met yet. We will be meeting on Thursday, and we will be busy for the next little bit with all of the referendum questions. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
A lot of fun work. Okay, CAC.
I'll take over for Julia on this one. So CAC met today. We discussed the Kairos blanket exercise. We'll continue that conversation at ARC on Thursday. We also decided not to talk about the land acknowledgement today, so we've tabled that for 2 weeks from now. So everyone should please come down for a real good time. It would mean a lot to me. As well, our wonderful chair, Julia, that I'm currently impersonating, has reached out to all the chairs of the other committees to submit their reviews from last semester. As well, the final update is that I believe you can see the CAC report from last semester and a summary of motions attached to this agenda, if I remember correctly. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chris. Okay, executive committee.
The executive committee has only met once in the last few weeks because most of our members were on vacation and we mostly dealt with procedural items, but some significant discussions about Omicron and safe return to campus.
Thank you so much, President Lay. Fee Governance Review Committee.
Fee Governance Review Committee hasn't met yet. We have our first meeting next Tuesday, I believe, and we will be going over the entire bylaw 6000 series. So this is your reminder, everybody in fee governance, if you have not read them, please read them. I'll send out an email later, but yeah, that's what we'll be doing for the next little bit.
Don't unmute too fast, Miss Emily, Finance Committee.
We have not met yet. We have our first meeting on Thursday, and we have quite a few things to do actually this semester. So looking forward to that.
Thank you. NOMCOM.
Yeah, NOMCOM is going to be meeting next week on Thursday. We're just going to be continuing our work from last semester, finalizing our job postings that we were reviewing, and also reviewing our best practices for electing student at large, or appointing student at large, sorry.
Thank you very much. Policy.
Hello, hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Policy committee has not met this year, but we will be meeting on Monday evening. So we're meeting this upcoming Monday. So looking forward to that. Before the break, we did divvy up the remainder of the policies that need to be renewed. So we are in full swing. Everyone's got their plates full. So yeah, be prepared for lots of first and second principles to come.
Thank you very much. Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee.
Yep, no shocker. We have not met yet. Our first meeting will be on the 31st, and we'll just be continuing our adjudications as well as prepping for next year.
Sustainability.
We have also not met yet. Our first meeting is next week on Friday, and we will be talking about economic sustainability.
Thank you very much. And last but not least, Translation Committee.
Our Translation Committee is currently working on the translation of the Student Charter of Rights and Responsibilities. And we have also received our grant from Heritage Canada, and our professional translator is working on the translation of the bylaws.
Whoa, that sounds amazing. Student Group Committee, I'm so sorry, I forgot you, Heather.
No, that's all good. Student Group Committee actually met yesterday. We had a special meeting and we finalized our recommendation to Student Council on the report that we were conducting. So, yeah.
Sounds good. Hopefully I didn't miss any more. I really tried hard to make sure I remembered them at least. Okay, so moving forward to Open Forum. Just a reminder, Open Forum is a place in which all registered guests of council have the right to comment or ask questions to members of council. You have a maximum of 3 oral questions with 30 seconds to ask them. I'll open up the floor to any guests now. As we do have a lot of guests today, yeah. Going once, going twice. Okay, great. We'll move forward to question period now then. Question period is a place in which all members of council can ask questions to another member of council or say statements. And I'll open up the floor now to any member of council who would like to speak. Dang, we are quiet today, y'all. We do have a very long agenda, so I may or may not be thanking you, but saved by the bell, Miss Councillor Dillon.
I just had a quick question. I think it's either for VP Kamani or VP Dixon. But when is the Student Health and Dental Plan Committee going to be started this year?
I will let VP Dixon answer that because the Health and Dental Plan is under her portfolio this year.
Yeah. Once I have some applications is the answer to that question. The posting has been up for quite a while. And last time I think I checked, there was right before break, there was not enough applications. So the answer is once I have applications to do it, then we'll get it going. But I think similar to the struggle that happened last year, because last year the committee also like wasn't formed. And I think the year before it wasn't formed until very later is like getting people interested in being on this committee. So definitely on our radar, definitely working on it. But again, haven't had a lot of uptake in applications.
Thank you, Councillor Dillon, for your question and VP Dixon for your answer. Would anyone else like to add to the speakers list? Okay, sounds good. If no one would want to, we'll move over to board and committee business. Okay, so Lay moves to refer the International Student Association SREP proposal to bylaw committee to draft the referendum question. But I did get a message from President Lay that we'd like to move the enclosed session to before the bylaw committee draft proposal. Am I correct, VP Dixon?
Oh, yes. I was giving a thumbs up, but yeah, I think it'd be best if we'd moved it up just before we had the rest of the conversations today.
Okay, sounds good. Would anyone like to second, please? Oh, President Lay seconds. Thank you very much. Okay, so when you go into closed, only members of council outside the NDA can be in the room. So for all the guests, you will be put into the waiting room until the closed session is finished. And I think I know who to do that, but I will probably need your help, Courtney.
I can definitely do that. Just give me a couple minutes. I'll let you know when we are good.
Did say 757. Hopefully most of y'all are back. I can't see. Thank you so much, Rowan. Okay, so we can just sort of continue on. Okay, moving on to the second item, third board and committee business item today is President Lay moves to refer the writing of a question for the Augustana Student Association SRA fee proposal to bylaw committee. Can I get a seconder? Thank you so much, VP Dixon, on top of it today. Okay, I'll sort of let President Lay take the floor.
Thanks very much, Madam Speaker. The ASA has a long track record of being an excellent and competent representative for Augustana students, and I think they have brought a thoughtful proposal for how to continue that work with their SRA fee in future years. I also see no reason why students shouldn't have a chance to vote on this one, and I think we should send this to bylaw committee to write a question.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, President Lay. Now I'm going to open up the speakers list for any debate or discussion of this motion. Okay. Once, twice. Okay, I guess that exhausts the speaking list. I will be sending everybody the link to vote now. Okay, Courtney, how many votes do we have at the moment?
We have 21.
21. I'll give y'all another 30 seconds to get those votes in. And then Courtney will announce the results. Okay, I think that's enough time. Courtney, would you like to do the honors?
For sure. So the vote passes unanimously.
Amazing. Okay, sounds good. Since there are no abstentions, we'll be good to go forward then to the next item on the agenda. Councillor Morris moves to refer the Education Student Association SRAP proposal to the bylaw committee to draft the ballot question. Can I get a seconder? Councillor Matoska, thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Morris, take it away.
Yeah, I don't have anything really new to say. Just a reminder that, you know, this fee isn't changing from anything that we've had before. And it'll enable a lot of good. So.
Thank you. Okay, and then I'll open up the speakers list for any debate, discussion, maybe questions for Councillor Morris. If we are good to go, here's another link for you. Okay, Courtney, how many votes do we have so far?
We have 17 right now.
Sounds good. Give y'all a couple more seconds. I think we have 32 people. Okay. Okay, Courtney, how about now?
We are at 20 right now.
Dang. Sorry, I'm rushing all y'all. I apologize. I will give y'all like 5 minutes to the next one. Okay, Courtney, hopefully we have more than 20.
We have 21.
We're missing 5 people, but I think we should be good to announce it.
For sure. So that motion passes.
Amazing. Would any abstentions like to be noted? Can you say in a chat or say it out loud? Okay, sounds good. Moving to the next item on the agenda, VP Montero moves to ratify the appointment of Sarah Riddert. I'm so sorry. I apologize, Sarah. As Chief Tribune of the Discipline Interpretation and Enforcement Board. May I get a seconder? Thank you so much, Councillor Matasca. I'll sort of give VP Montero the floor.
Sure. This one will be brief. Yeah, you're voting to appoint new Chief Tribune to the Dai Board. I actually had the pleasure of sitting on the selection committee who picked Sarah initially to join Dai Board, same as the next candidate as well on the next motion. I think she's going to be a phenomenal candidate. She has the full support of everybody else who's working with her on Dai Board, so I think she'll be a great fit.
Thank you so much, VP Montero. I'll open up the floor to anyone who would like to enter the speaking list. Seeing none, I will be sending the link now. My goal is to finish this meeting by 9. It's a very big agenda, but we will finish by 9, I swear. I'll try my best. No one wants to enter the speaking list. I can't do anything about that. We still have two big things on the agenda that we have to discuss. Hopefully we don't. This is like the second meeting that we tabled Vicky Montero's motion. So hopefully we actually get to discuss it today.
I can't let it happen a third time.
Stop being a pushover, Abner. You can't be a pushover.
Oh, no, it's accepting. It's accepting. I keep time and energy.
It's okay. You already had two. Oh, actually, you're about to have two.
Hunter Blossom. I hope my speaker upholds the motion to allow this conversation to happen.
I guess we have to wait and see. Miss Courtney, how many votes do we have?
We have 19 right now.
Sounds great. It is on me, Simran. It's a lot of pressure. So you think I should table it, Nicole? That's what I'm hearing. Courtney, hopefully we got 20 now.
We have 21 right now.
Great. Let us know what the results are.
That motion passed unanimously.
Amazing. Okay, moving on to the next part of our agenda. VP Montero moves to ratify the appointment of Scott Parker as Associate Chief Tribune of the Dai Board. I'll give the floor to you once again.
Sure, this one will be faster. Also, I had the pleasure of interviewing Scott. Also a great candidate, brings a lot of experience to the table, and I think he'll be a great Associate Chief Tribune.
Sounds great. Okay, I will open up the speakers list. And I will also ask for a seconder. Thank you so much, Councillor Morris. That is my second mistake today. Hopefully there's the right link, so I won't make my third. Okay, it's been 2 minutes. Hopefully we've gotten at least 21, Courtney.
We have exactly 21.
Whoa.
And that motion also passes unanimously.
Amazing. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item. Council Dillon moves to refer the ICE SRA fee proposal to the bylaw committee to draft the ballot question. Councillor, can I get a seconder before I forget? Thank you so much, Councillor Matoska. Okay, now I will give the floor to Councillor Dillon.
Yeah, I've had the really awesome opportunity to work with ICE a lot recently, and they've been super perceptive to all of our, feedback. And so they've been really great to work with, and I definitely think that we should accept it, but yeah.
Sounds good, thank you so much. I will open up the speakers list to anyone who would like to have a debate on this motion. I think that was meant for everybody, Councillor Beasley.
It was. I so if you were at the last council meeting, you knew that I was uncertain about this. I've since become certain. I trust ICE moving forward with the plans that they've implemented. And I look forward to voting in favor of this motion. And I hope that everyone else does too.
Thank you so much, Councillor Beasley. Anyone else would like to enter the speakers list? If not, here you are. Okay, Courtney, give us a 21 votes.
We actually have 22 this time, so I'm very proud. And the motion passes.
Amazing. Would anyone like to make note of their abstention? I will take that silence as a no. Okay, amazing. We are done the board and committee business. Now we are moving on to general orders. VP Montero moves to discuss council roles and responsibilities. Can I get a seconder? VP Dixon, thank you so much. VP Montero, this is your moment to shine.
Oh, I'm so happy I get this opportunity. I didn't know if someone was going to second it, and you might have had your dream come true, Julia. Okay, so thank you, everyone. I'm glad we can have this conversation. As you know, I'm working on the Student Governance Code of Conduct, and part of that code of conduct involves outlining council roles and responsibilities, similar to also outlining SRA roles and responsibilities. So what I wanted to do today I know we've had quite a few discussions about governance restructuring. A lot of the root causes of some of the issues that we talked about is just counselors not really knowing what their roles and responsibilities are as counselors. So what I wanted to do today is just have that discussion, to go around, have everyone share their thoughts and what they think the role of a student's counselor is. Gives me the opportunity to compile a lot of those thoughts, bring it back to all of you at a later date, fairly soon, so that we can kind of finalize what that list looks like, be on the same page, and then we can put that within the code of conduct.
Thank you so much, VP Montero. I will now open the speakers list to anyone who would like to say or discuss this motion. I would love to see some names.
Yeah, there's no wrong answers here. I want to gather everyone's thoughts. I'm sure there's going to be opposing views, but please provide them all so that I can work through all of those thoughts.
Thank you so much, Counselor Morris.
No problem. Anything for you, Abner. I would say that the role of a counselor is to advocate for the best interest of their constituents and the student body and the undergraduate student body at large.
Awesome, thank you. If I'm looking away, I'm just writing notes. So just keep it going, Julia, as people are going in. I'll add stuff as necessary.
Okay, Councillor Matoska.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I agree with what Councillor Morris had to say. I wanted to add as well, I think active participation is also a key important responsibility of counselors. So active meaning you're engaged in conversation and discussion, you're on committees, you're not just here listening or not participating, you are active in what's going on within Students Council. So that's a key thing. I'll probably have more ideas, but I'll put my name on the speakers list when they pop into my head.
Thank you so much, Councillor Matoska. I invite more people to go on the speakers list because I can't say my two thoughts. So y'all have to say it for me.
So what I can also do, Julia, if there's nobody who has anything that they can think of off the top of their head, just some prompting questions. I know one thing that we talked about quite a bit is the role of counselors attending events. So I'd be open to hearing what people's thoughts are on that, whether you think it's a responsibility of a counselor, if someone's hosting events, to show up to those events or just be at council. That's one thing. I see President Lee is on the list, so I'll wait and then provide any more thought-provoking questions afterwards.
President Lee.
Yeah, I'll just throw one more idea in there, which is that it's the responsibility of counselors to think ahead and to plan many years ahead, like in line with the strategic plan and long-term goals and interests for students, not just for the time when they're in office.
Thank you so much. I was on mute. Anyone else have anything to add? Or would you want to hear again from VP Montero with another sickening question?
I see Councillor Morris's hand up. I don't know if...
I'm so sorry, y'all. I can't see hands up, but...
No, I've been in class all day, so I totally forgot I have to put my name into the chat. It's been so long since we've Council Zoomed. But I did want to say... To your point, Abner, about involvement, I would say it's a responsibility of a counselor to inform themselves on issues that affect their constituents, and how they go about that is through research and, attending relevant events or seminars on the issues that their constituents are facing in order to make informed decisions and advocacy avenues.
Awesome. Thank you. Councillor
Ouellette. To add to what everyone said so far, I think counselors' roles are also to be intentional, not to just do everything and anything, but to do specific things that help people, to find specific things that can
target what they're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. Councillor Mataska.
Okay, I'm not sure if this is kind of the scope of what you're looking for, but it is important, so I thought I would mention it. To set boundaries and prioritize self-care, it's a little bit of a different perspective on it, but to not spread yourself too thin to the point where you have to give up your commitments or it affects your academic grade. So yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks, Emily.
Councillor Baticki.
I'm not sure if we should be laying out like counselors should like attend like X many events or anything. I obviously think you're going to be more successful on council if you are like an active member in your community. But I think this like ties back to one thing that I think is really important for counselors to do, and it's to hold each other accountable. It's to hold executive accountable too, but also they need to hold each other accountable. Because at the end of the day, this is a really big group. And so there's always going to be people who maybe are slacking a bit or maybe just need a little bit of extra help. So I think the role of a counselor is to help make sure council is being as effective as it can be.
Thank you. Councillor Beasley.
Thank you so much, Madam Speaker. So I have kind of like two thoughts. The first one is just kind of bouncing off what Councillor Morris mentioned about like being involved in communities, learning and like growing a lot and challenging yourself. Like I do think that it is a responsibility of counselors to always be learning, doing more about their communities or about how the university is changing or things like that. I don't think any of us come into this role like knowing the intricacies of the university or understanding the intricacies of the SU or anything. But I think that we all should recognize that like it's a learning process and it's a learning curve. I still learn things every week on various parts of the university. And I think there is a large learning role for council as well. Also when it comes to exec accountability, I don't necessarily want to share my thoughts right now, but I do think hammering down what council's role in holding the exec accountable might be something that would be an interesting thing to explore. Because I know we've had different thoughts on that in the past. And it also depends really on how equipped council is to hold the exec accountable. There's always going to be not only a power dynamic, but also just like some pretty severe information asymmetry, which makes a lot of sense. The exec know a lot more about stuff than we do because they're a lot closer to it, and that's always going to be the case. And so we need to figure out, and I think this is not necessarily incumbent on counselors. This is probably something we need to sort out as a group, like what the right balance is between like asking questions in public forums versus approaching exec on their own to offer help or to like ask smaller questions, like what's going on with Project X, what's going on with Project Y. And that's not something that I think we've ever truly figured out. I certainly got it very wrong when I started on council. Those are my thoughts. Sorry, I recognize that everyone's tired, and this was also a tired answer to this question.
I appreciate the thoughts, Chris, and I also invite anybody, based on what Chris has said there, to share their thoughts on that as well. It's also another point that we brought up when we talked about the code of conduct. We talked about governance restructuring, about what that accountability looks like. So I would be open to hear everyone's thoughts on this too.
Councillor Mataska, you have a point of order?
Yes, can I motion to move into committee as a whole? Because I forgot that we only have two speaking turns and I used them up.
Can I get a seconder?
I'll second that.
Thank you so much. Do we need a vote? Or it's just a motion, a second? Silence is amazing too. I would just assume
that. I think it's just a mover and a seconder.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I trust Abner. So we'll go into committee as a whole.
I'm also going to invite all the first time counselors in here. I know your experience in council has been primarily online, so I'd like to hear your thoughts as well. Julie, I think there's one name in the chat.
Counselor Kaur?
So I agree with what everybody has said so far. And I also think that a counselor needs to engage as much as he or she can with the students around and educate them about the council, like what's going on there. And also like just encourage them to get involved. Because like many times people don't even know, like in the voting period, that voting is going on, and like there's a huge number that doesn't even vote. So like we need to engage more and more students.
Okay, thank you so much. Councilor Mataska.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Okay, I had two ideas. One, I'm not sure really is applicable. I don't know, you can tell me. But the first idea is to, along with the idea of being in contact with your constituents, potentially being in contact with your faculty associations or department associations, because as much as we want to reach out to as many people and talk to as many people in the faculty as we can, faculty associations and department associations have quite a wide scope. So that might be a good idea. Not saying it's a necessary thing per se, but something that is an important aspect of having communication with your constituents and getting their opinions and thoughts on things. And then my second idea, again, let me know if it's relevant or not, but for elections, having counselors be aware of what their role entails prior to running in an election, and knowing what a time commitment and what sort of effort is required to fulfill the role effectively. And again, I say I don't know if this is relevant because technically, if they're running, they wouldn't be counselors yet. But again, just an idea that I thought is important.
Oh, it's a good point, Emily. And once this document gets made, it's another resource that we can share with people who are running so that they have an idea of what the responsibility is like.
Thank you so much, Councilor Mataska. VP Foteng.
Yeah, the point I'm about to make, I think, kind of ties in what Councilor Mataska just said, as well as what Councilor Beasley also previously mentioned. I think familiarizing yourself with the various committees and subcommittees or working groups or task force of council, even if you might not have a seat on them, should be a duty of counselors. I feel like when we're talking about that aspect of holding not only just the execs accountable, but holding other counselors accountable, it works well if we're also familiar with the issues we're talking about, right? So if a policy is coming through for approval, a bylaw, audit, whatever you want to mention it, sure, you must have not been the person who had to work on it, but I think it helps if you've, you know, at least are an understanding of the mandate of those committees to ask the right questions. And I feel that comes from at least doing your due diligence of knowing what the committees and boards of council are.
Sounds good. Thank you.
VP Dixon.
Yeah, thanks. Good thoughts from everybody. I think one of the things that I think is important, kind of touching on what Emily said, but is like clarifying not just like what are the roles and like what do you do, but like what is it appropriate for you to like run on? And that's not to say that people can't shoot for the stars, but like very often I think we've all kind of seen this and we look back at our first platforms and we're like, I was like, I'm going to single-handedly solve mental health problems as a counselor. At least that was my first platform. And that's like just not the role of a counselor. Like, yes, you can work on a mental health policy, or you can bring it to the exec's attention that this is an issue, or you can work on specific projects. But like, you know, your actual capacity as a counselor is pretty limited because this is just a volunteer position. Like as counselors, you're all volunteers. And so there's that expectation. Anyway, the other thing kind of tied into what Chris said, and I think what everybody else has said as well, is like, I've been on council for 3 years now, and I know Rowan and I both talked about this, is like scope creep of the council position is like pretty concerning, I think, to like long-term counselors. Like, at least in my first year on council, being a counselor, it felt like there was a lot less expectations on counselors. And I'm not saying that the standards are set now are bad. I think it's great, but you know what I mean? Like, just making sure that it's kind of like more normative, and that like those people who go above and beyond, it's like, that's awesome, but that's not necessarily expected of all of the other people who just came in, you know, wanting to do some work and like wanting to work on certain projects. But yeah, like scope creep again, I think is something that I've seen like really rapidly, and I think it's really good in some ways, but yeah. And I think this whole process will kind of help to focus in, because right now it's changed a lot, even just in the last 3 years from my perspective.
Yeah, thanks, Elliot.
Councillor Yola.
Yeah, thank you. I believe as much as it is important to get to know other councillors, I think it's really important for councillors to respond to and engage with other councillors' proposals and such during council meetings without any biases based on any personal relationships with fellow councillors or execs. Yeah, that's all I have to add. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Morris.
This might be a bit of a controversial point, and I welcome debate on it. But I remember the first council meeting we had this term, we were all being elected onto committee seats. And as it turned out, as the months went on, committees shifted because some people ended up on a lot and some people ended up on none. So I think, to make it a bit more fair, every councillor should have to be on one committee, because I think right now it's incredibly disproportionate.
Sounds good. Yeah, no, and that's a conversation we also had at when we had the GRTF discussion. So thank you for bringing it up, Councillor Morris.
Councillor Beasley.
Yeah, I have my own things to say, but I want to start off by plus oneing like Councillor Morris. I think they raise a really good point. I also think that means that if we make it on the front end a requirement to sit on at least one committee, then we make sure that like the workload is more reflective, like in the actual nomination package, no matter what. And then on top of that as well, I also think that like, maybe this is a hot take, but like usually people who are on committees are like structurally more empowered to be better counselors because they know more people, they know more about the discussions that are happening, and they know just like how to navigate the system better because they're on more committees and part of more conversations. Is that a problem? Maybe. Is the solution making counselors mandated to sit on committees? I don't know. It would help though. Or it may help. But what I actually wanted to say though was, and this goes back a while back, and this is also stirring the pot a little, but VP Montero's question about like showing up to events and things, something that I haven't been able to reconcile, and that I guess I'm like looking to the rest of council to help me figure out, is I don't think that it should be any individual counselor's responsibility to like show up to say the flag ceremony for children lost in residential schools. But I do think that it's like a council responsibility for council to be there as a group. What I haven't figured out, and what I'm going to be completely honest, like I just don't know the answer to this. How do we stress that these are things that we need to be at as council, while also understanding that like individuals don't need to be there because they're busy. Like I say this, you know, I've been to a lot of them because up until this year, like I didn't work and my class schedule was pretty chill because it's arts and nothing matters. And like I've had a lot of opportunities as a result to like be at those kinds of events. Yeah, and so like I don't want to say that like everyone needs to be there individually, but I do also think that like we have a track record of occasionally having like quite poor showings at events, especially like Indigenous events and events run by like ASC and other organizations. And we need to find a way to sort that out while also balancing not making it an individual responsibility, because obviously that doesn't work for like people who aren't in the country or other things. This was a whole bunch of ideas and very few actual firm like thoughts. That's what I'm gonna just kind of drop and then leave.
Thank you. Councillor Matoska.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on what Councillor Beasley just said. Because an idea came into my head. We send Google Calendar invites for all of our meetings. So I don't want to add anything on more onto our administration because I know that they do so much. But even having these events sent to us for a Google Calendar, so we have it in our calendar, it's something that's planned so we can better schedule our own schedules around those events, and then potentially having a specific time that we're notified of events so we can plan, because I know a lot of people work and have other commitments that they need to work around, so it doesn't always work. But my job before I got laid off before COVID, I needed more than a month in advance to take time off work, and that was just the way that scheduling worked. Usually it was 2 months, if not more. So yeah, maybe having it in a Google Calendar invite might help. And then it's something on our radar. I think another thing that was touched on earlier that I think is important, I can't remember who it was, I'm very sorry, but they had mentioned about doing research and still putting in work, even if you can't attend events, to get something out of it. I think that's really important too. So yeah, I don't know how that really all fits in there, but having some sort of alternative to attending events if you can't.
Sure. Thanks for the comments, Councilor Matoska. I will say, so a lot of the things that people are bringing up, really good points. For example, for something like the one that we talk about events and talking about a calendar and stuff like that, we keep the scope to, you know, whether council should or shouldn't attend events. We can always work through exactly how that works out better. So Councilor Matoska, I'll keep that in mind as on a separate side point that it's really important that we figure out exactly how we can look at that and figure out how it can be accommodating for everyone. So thank you for sharing it. But just to remind everyone to just think about what specifically the roles and responsibilities are on a large level, and then we can work through the more nitty gritty of how those will operate afterwards.
Sounds good. Councillor Lala.
Hi, I hope you can hear me. So I think that something that should be kind of implemented or within the roles and responsibilities of counselors is that old and new counselors should kind of work together to serve their faculty and consult with their SRAs on a rolling basis. And this also gives the opportunity for new counselors to kind of shadow previous counselors and learn from them to kind of hone in on the roles and responsibilities, as well as pick up on the skills that a counselor should have.
That's a great point. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Councillor Baticki.
I want to echo everything Councillor Lala just said. I think a lot of us have been in a situation where, like, I know this was the case for me. The engineering counselor before me had a very good relationship with like the ESS. And as a result, they were like the primary point of communication. And so after that, when that individual was no longer on council, I don't have that relationship with the FA. And so unfortunately, throughout my time on council, I haven't been as great at communicating with my FA as I should be. And I know a lot of other counselors feel that way. So I think that was a really great point.
Thank you so much, Councillor Baticki. I'll open up the floor sort of for like 30 more seconds because we do have one more thing on the agenda that we need to discuss. And we are running out of time a little bit. I just wanna make sure we have enough time to discuss the next thing. Okay, I'm Councillor Matoska, then I think I'll end the speaker's list there.
Sorry, last thing, really quick. Something that Councillor Morris and I did at the beginning of the term, but haven't recently, that I think would be good to incorporate a little bit more structure to, would be having specific meetings between faculty counselors. So having something where they meet like maybe once a month together
to discuss things about council or discuss things happening in their faculty, to bring in new ideas and maybe have it be a little bit more of an inclusive and safer space to bring up opinions and share ideas. Less intimidating is what I was trying to say. Also, Councillor Morris, we should have another meeting.
Okay, thank you so much. Abner, do you want to say anything else before we
start? Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for sharing their thoughts. I have a full list here of a bunch of things that I can now think about and figure out how they're going to look into in a code of conduct. For any of you who just didn't feel comfortable sharing your thoughts or I never got the chance to, please just send me a message. You can WhatsApp me, you can email me. I'm happy to add anything you say to the list and work that into the whole document as well.
I'm so sorry, VP Fautang. Maybe you can message VP Montero. I just want to get, I already exhausted it, bro. Sorry. So move on. Yes. I was going to do that afterwards, but okay. Sort of, so Rowan, which one did you want to do first?
We can just do the one that's on the agenda first, and then I can move from the floor for the next one after that. Sorry.
That's good. Okay. We will move on to the next item on the agenda. President Lay moves to discuss DFU consultation standards. Mega seconder. Councillor Matoska, thank you very much. President Lay, you have the floor.
Thanks very much, Madam Speaker. So just briefly to introduce the subject. So in December, when we received presentations from some DFU proponents, Council asked to receive consultation reports before proceeding to vote on the referendum questions. And I can see why folks wanted to ask for this, as this is the standard that we hold SRA fee proposals and renewals to. And I can see why we wanted to be consistent between the SRA proposals and the DFU proposals. But there are some key differences between the SRA fees and the DFUs and their governance and how they connect to consultation. So maintaining broad student engagement capacity is really core to an SRA's mission. They are representatives and advocates for students. They are elected. Of course, they need to have that direct connection to their student body. A DFU, though, is a little different. A DFU is a service-focused organization. Most DFUs are pretty small, so they don't maintain the infrastructure or experience to engage in frequent, high-quality consultations with students. And frankly, that is probably for the best, because those would be resources that they couldn't use on actually executing their core service mission. SLS, WUSC, just as examples, but most of the others is equally true. They don't have the capacity or expertise to do large surveys and consultations that reach the student body accurately and effectively in the way that the Students' Union does with the whole student body, or in the way that faculty associations do with their faculties. So partly for that reason, I think the bylaws on DFU renewals do not have a requirement for consultation, unlike the bylaws on SRA fees. There is also no precedent from the last few cycles of renewals for asking a DFU for consultation reports before moving forward on drafting their question and sending it to the elections office. Generally speaking, in the past, in the case of DFUs, council has made this decision based on the perceived merits of the proposal and not based on consultation reports. And I know this is a little different, but this is what has been done before. And so we've heard from a number of the DFU proponents that they're just confused about why we're asking for a higher standard this time. So I know Emily has a few other thoughts on the situation, and then we're happy to answer any questions or have a discussion about this.
Yeah, thanks, Rowan. So I just wanted to add a few more points, and I just wanted to reiterate one more time that we do understand like your concerns and, you know, the need for DFUs to have consultation with students. But and as Rowan mentioned, in bylaw, there is no requirement for DFUs to undergo consultation. But this is something that we can definitely look towards changing in the future. And that's the whole point and purpose of the Fee Governance Review Committee. So we've already had conversations about the type of requirements we would need for DFUs, like maybe having some sort of agreement or MOUs, and consultation could be part of that. So it's something that we can definitely look towards for the future. But in terms of this year right now, we are going to go, well, we suggest going towards bylaw. And so we'll be having a larger conversation about DFU consultation once we start meeting next
week in Fee Governance Review Committee, and we're happy to get back to council with our, a few of our thoughts. But yeah, I just wanted to add those few things there.
Thank you, President Lee and VP Kamani. Now I'll open up the floor to any discussion. Councilor Batiki.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Can you just clarify either Rowan or Emily when the deadline is for DFUs, and is it the same as SRAs?
I can answer that, Madam Speaker. Or Emily, would you like to?
Your camera is, or your mic's already on, so go ahead.
To my understanding, we can vote on the SRE, or sorry, on the DFU proposals next week, next council meeting. So we don't have to deal with it today, but we do have to deal with it next council meeting, which is why VP Kamani and I wanted to discuss this today so that we could basically all get on the same page about our understanding of consultation requirements before voting on sending those proposals to bylaw committee at the next meeting. Does that answer the question?
So when is the deadline for them to like submit their written intent, if that makes sense?
Right. The deadline for written intent is much earlier. It's way back in the fall. I don't remember the exact date, but that's not to council. They just have to provide written confirmation of intent to the students. I think the way it is phrased in bylaw is the Students Union main office, which we've historically interpreted to be either the CRO or the exec.
Sounds good. Okay, Councillor Beasley.
Yeah, I just kind of had two things to say. First and foremost, heard loud and clear President Lee and Vice President Kamani. Understood that the like bylaw doesn't currently have like any consultation requirements. Not something to take in this year then. I would, I guess, just to like say a little bit before this goes to Fee Governance Review Committee and other areas. I do think that it's important that we have some kind of mechanism for demonstrating that like these are in the best interests of students. In particular, I'm going to choose my next couple words very carefully. Comparator universities have run into problems with the ancillary fees that they have charged. Comparator students' unions is what I mean. In particular, the university or the Carleton University Students Association. And you can look up FundKey, FUNDQI. To see a very hotly contested ancillary service that they charged their students and then I think ran a referendum to maybe uncharge their students. But a lot of the conversations around charging the students for that fee revolved around whether or not FundKey got preferential treatment because of how close the operators of the FundKey company were with the current Carleton University Students Association's executives and other areas. Long story short, all that I'm saying here is that other like comparator students associations are running into problems with keeping organizations at arm's length and not having those organizations demonstrate in ways that the students at those universities find acceptable the value to those student bodies before it goes to referendum. So I think it is probably something that we need to square. If it's not something we square this election, that's okay. Just something I wanted to note.
Okay, thank you so much. Councillor Morris.
Yeah, this is kind of echoing Chris's point, but presently, I believe that you mentioned, the folks presenting the DFUs have been wondering what has changed this year. I would say what has changed this year is that we're being charged way more than we ever have before on a tuition front. And I understand that's not entirely in the SU's control, but any more, and this is a point that I ran on, any more money that we're taking from students needs to be transparently justified. And I think students now are getting more angry about the way that their money is being used and when they don't have a say in how much money they have to pay for things. So I would say that is what has changed. And, I don't know if it's a paraphrasing that you said, but I'm a bit concerned that it's being
questioned what has changed, because to me it seems very obvious that this is what has changed.
President Lee?
Oh, I don't think there was a question there, Madam Speaker.
I thought you were next on the speaker's list.
Oh, I think he put his name to, like, answer a question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was earlier, sorry.
Okay. Does anyone else want to put their names forward on the speaker's list? Seeing none. Okay, sounds good. Oh, Councillor Bashiki.
I'm so sorry. This literally just popped into my head. But is there a distinction? I know the bylaws say nothing. And like, I understand that you can't really ask for a substantial consultation if the bylaws don't say it for DFUs. But in the case of someone like Student Legal Services, where they're asking about increasing the fee by like a significant amount based on what the fee originally was, like, I know it doesn't say anywhere in the bylaws, but like, I feel like there should just be some standard of like, you should be able to demonstrate that this is indeed like something that you, the university needs or is required. Because I know a lot of students, like when they vote on DFUs, it's like, oh yeah, I agree with this organization. I'll just vote to like approve it again. But I don't think the vast majority of students will like catch on to the fact that this student legal service fee might be significantly higher than the one that was charged previously. And like that sort of stuff. So that's just food for thought. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on that.
President Lee?
Yeah, I definitely agree on that, Councillor Bitticky. I think as on an interim basis, we can look at a lot of the information that council has from other sources to judge whether or not something is worthwhile. So just to take the example of Student Legal Services, we have done our own independent research on a lot of the issues that are reflected in their proposal, right? So we can kind of make judgments on that basis in the interim until we have better bylaws and procedures in place. So we'll have to exercise our best judgment there, but make sure that we're well-informed, certainly, in exercising that judgment. But in the long run, we need a much more structured way to do that.
Okay, thank you very much, President Lee. I'm seeing the end of the speaker's list. I see one more person on the speaker's list, Councillor Dillon.
Sorry, I just have a really quick question. I hope you can hear me. But I'm a little confused on like the timeline. So are we receiving these proposals right before we're supposed to vote on them next council meeting? Because usually don't we have more time?
Presently?
No, we've already received all the proposals, or at least the initial versions of all the proposals. I don't know, some of the fee proponents may want to present again if there are any like minor changes, but I do believe that we have seen them all in December, though DP Kamani, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. Yeah, we've gotten all of them so far.
Sounds good. Anyone else in the speaker's list? Any last names? If not, okay, so then the speaker's exhausted. Merwin?
Can I answer the question that was just popped up in the chat? Julia, is that okay?
Oh yeah, sure.
So no, SLS is not the only one. So WISC will be coming to referendum as well. APERG and Campus Food Bank, I believe those are the three. And then SLS, so in a total four of them are coming.
Councillor Morris.
So I'm sorry, a few of us I think might be confused because we haven't seen any of those presentations or like their proposals. Will we be getting any of that information before we vote? Because I don't know, I feel a bit confused and in the dark right now.
Yeah, so you will be getting those proposals. There's nowhere in the bylaws that do state that DFUs have to come and present to council. SLS just wanted some feedback from council, so that's why they did that. But we have received all the proposals and we'll be sending them to you before our next council meeting.
Sounds good. Anyone else before I actually exhaust the speaking list? Going once, going twice. If it's no one else, then I will just get presently to wrap it.
Thanks very much, Madam Speaker. And I apologize, we did not get to this sooner. Hopefully it will not take too long, but we do need to populate and create the Board of Governors Representative Nominee Selection Committee. I believe I just got that name right. So I'd like to make a motion from the floor, first of all, to convene the Board of Governors Nominee or Board of Governors Representative Nominee Selection Committee. And then I'd like to make another motion from the floor to appoint 4 members from Students Council to that committee. And then I also believe, oh, he's already in the chat. Yes, we should move to extend by 10 or 15 minutes. So 15 minutes I'd move to extend, or I'd second Councillor Morris's motion to move to extend by.
Sounds good. President, like, would you be able to like type that up? The motions? I'm so sorry, y'all. I failed you. We will not be ending at 9 p.m. But... we will be extended by 15 minutes, but I will be taking attendance while we do the rest of these motions. Yes, let's give me a second. Sounds good. Lay moves to convene the Undergraduate Board of Governors Representative Nominee Selection Committee. Can I get a seconder? Councillor Morris, thank you very much. I assume we have to make another Google form then, Courtney, for the votes for this one.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we can just make a second one. Like a copy of one of our last ones that we did. The last one, you know how we made one extra Google form?
Yeah. I'll just change the title and I'll get that out in just 2 minutes.
Amazing. Councillor Morris was just a seconder, yeah. Councillor Dillon, was that the second President Lee's motion?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Courtney, did... I need to make a preferential ballot just in case.
I should have sent it to your email now, Julia.
Oh, Queen, thank you so much. Oh, you're so great, Courtney. Oh, Courtney.